excited tonight. There you go. I am. So check this out. I get the privilege to be here up tonight. Well, to be up here tonight. There's a graduation that's happening with our interns. We'll get into that later on during the service. But they are doing it in the main sanctuary for right now. Why did they get to go first over there? Why can't they be in the Rock Youth first, right? Okay, just one of us agreed. So anyways, tonight's message, before we say the title, because the title is pretty long. Well, at least one word. One word is long. But when you read this title, when you read this one long word and you're going to see what it is, I want you to think about how many people is that talking about? How many people is this word talking about? But then there's another word that comes right after. How many people are that word? Okay, so for tonight's message, the title of tonight's message is The Unrecognizable Hero. That's a big word, at least to me. Yesterday, I couldn't even pronounce it. I'm being serious. I couldn't even pronounce it. I was talking to my brother. I was like, hey, I got a title. You know, it's this. I said, but it means this. And I was like, unrecognizable. Yeah, I couldn't do it at all. And my brother was like, you just got to break it down. Unrecognizable. So I broke it down. Now I'm able to say it. The unrecognizable hero. See, in the Bible, there's a lot of heroes, right? There's a lot of heroes. There's a lot of faith heroes. There's a lot of heroes that defeated giants. There's one hero. There's a lot of heroes that did a lot of God's stuff, did God's word. But also here on this planet, here on this earth, a hero, most of us have them. If you have a hero, raise your hand. If you came across a hero, raise your hand. If you're a hero, raise your hand. Okay, cool. We'll get into that. And there's a reason why I said that. But we'll get into that later. You see, heroes, I'm pretty sure you guys all heard, heroes don't wear capes. Heroes don't always wear masks. You guys heard that before, right? You guys hear that? So it's a huge saying. So I'm not really going to go on that. I'm not going to base this off that. But what I am going to talk about is the unrecognizable hero. Unrecognizable meaning there was people in the Bible that went unrecognized. And to me and to others, they're a hero. They're a hero because the little things that they did, little things were so big that they were mentioned in the Bible. It was a small thing that these people did, and yet their name still got dropped in the Bible. There's even some of them that were dropped in the Bible, that they did something so small, but yet it was so big that their name wasn't in the Bible, but yet a description of them is in the Bible. You see, a hero could come from anywhere. It could come from your left. It could come from your right. A hero can be a father. It could be a mother. It could be your aunt. It could be your grandma. It could be a mentor. A hero could be one of the Rock youth leaders here in this Rock church. Amen? A hero could come from anywhere. And a hero doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to do, they don't have to do something big. They don't have to do something huge. As long as it makes an impact in your life, that should be considered a hero. So these people, the first ones that I'm going to talk about, it's actually two people. Where are my females at? So these two people that I'm going to first talk about are females. And they did something really huge. But before we get into that, y'all brought your Bibles, right? If you did not bring your Bibles, don't even trick, because we're going to have it on the overhead screen. So if you got your Bibles or if you didn't, look on the overhead screen and let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to start in chapter number 2, verse number 4. Now, I want you guys to pay attention to this, okay? I paid attention to this scripture so much that it is in the front of my Bible. I wrote it down. I said, this is where I'm at. This is what I need to read. Every time I open my Bible, I need to read this right here. And it says right here in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verse number 4, it says, for we, who's we? Us. Well, this is Paul speaking right here, and he's writing a letter. And it says, for we speak as messengers approved by who? Approved by God to be entrusted with the good news meaning the scripture, the good news meaning the word of God, meaning the Bible, right? For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. You see, whether you like it or not, or whether you know it or not, you're called to be a messenger, right? You are called to be one, whether you like it or not. Whether you tell somebody one small thing or not. Whether you be a hero to somebody or not. Whether you go unrecognizable as a hero or not. We're all called to be messengers. And God entrusted us with the good news. And our purpose is to please him. Not man, but to please God. Why would you want to be here on this earth just pleasing man? There's tons of people that I came across in my lifetime. And I'm only 30 years young. And there's tons of people that I came across that just want to please people. And that is it. They just want to make a name for themselves. They just want to make sure that they're good with people. And that is it. And I'm like, y'all got it twisted. Because it's not about that. It's about pleasing God. It's about what you're doing. You're a messenger. And it's about pleasing him, not people. So these first two people that I'm going to talk about, y'all still with me? These first two people that I'm going to talk about, they're found in Exodus. All right? So if you got your Bibles, let's go to Exodus, chapter number one. And these two people, let me give a quick background story. So what happened is that there was these Israelites, right? And they were here in this land of Egypt. And what happened is that their population started growing and growing and growing. Until Pharaoh finally said something and said, hey, you know what? We have too many people of the Israelites and we need to get rid of them because they outnumber us. And if we were to go to war, they would sure enough join up with our enemies and they could overtake us. So Pharaoh was scared at this time because there was too many of them. So what Pharaoh did, it's kind of dirty. It's kind of wrong. And in Exodus, we're going to pick it up there. Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 15. We're going to read through 17. It says, then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives. Somebody say that name. No, not midwives. Say that name. The one with the S. Right. That's how I was too. So it says, then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah. Right? Am I right? Shiphrah. Shiphrah and I pronounce it Pua. Why? Because I knew somebody with that name, Pua. They didn't have the H though. It was just P-U-A. So that one has H though, but we're still saying Pua. So it says, then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Pua. Next one. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. That's jacked up. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. Why? Because there was too many people, and the Pharaoh wanted to get rid of them because they were outnumbering them. So he goes and he tells them, kill them. Let the girls live, but the boys, kill them. The next one says, but because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So here we have these two females. Pharaoh tells them, if any of them babies are born a boy, kill them. But if it's a girl, let them live. And why are these two ladies a hero? Yes, you could say they disobeyed Pharaoh, right? Are we supposed to disobey? Here we go. The Pharaoh was telling them to kill the boys, telling them to kill the babies. But these ladies disobeyed Pharaoh. Yes, they disobeyed Pharaoh. See, but God doesn't expect us to obey those in authority when they're disobeying him and when they're disobeying his word. Y'all catch that? Therefore, if somebody is disobeying God and disobeying his word, and somebody tells you to do something and you do the opposite, you disobey them, if it doesn't line up with God's word, then it's okay. It was okay to these women. And yet they let these boys live. And after this, what had happened? Why they were heroes? Was because this happened, they feared God. They had such a fear of God that they said, we're going to let these kids live. We're going to let these boys live. I fear God more than any man here on earth. Therefore, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to what God says. And if God tells me to let these kids live, well, dang, I'm going to let these kids live. And they let them live. And what happened after that? Pharaoh went and told everybody. Everybody dies. All the boys, they just die. You kill them all. Started telling everybody, you kill all the new baby boys that are born, you kill them. Well, after a short time after that, Moses came along. What would have happened if these ladies would have been killing the boys? What would have happened if they would have obeyed Pharaoh and not God? Think about it. Would it have gotten worse to where, I'm just put it out there, it wasn't going to happen, but would it have gotten worse to where maybe Moses was one of them boys? And then the word never went on? And then we wouldn't have all these books in the Bible? But see, it didn't happen like that, though. What happened is that these ladies had a fear of God. And because they had that fear, they obeyed him. They didn't listen to Pharaoh. They obeyed him. And what happened? The church went on. God's word went on. And that's what a hero is. These two are heroes. And they went unrecognizable in the Bible. Yes, their names were in there, but they went unrecognizable. And that's why they are the first unrecognizable heroes. The second one, where are my fellas at? There we go. Can we talk about a fella right quick? The second one, you guys probably know him, but he's only mentioned just quick, short time in the Bible, and that's it. So he is our second unrecognizable hero, and his name is Ananias. Have you guys ever heard of him? A few of you? Some of you haven't? Well, let's go to Acts chapter number 9 for Ananias. See, right here, let me give you a quick background story. How many of you know who Saul is? I didn't think so. How many of you know of the Apostle Paul? I'll say the Apostle Paul. There you go. How many of you know who the Apostle Paul is? Pedro. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. There you go. Before he became Paul, or the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul. Saul. There you go, of Tarsus. This guy, if you do not know his story, you need to know it, because how can this guy who is around killing people, he was a murderer. You guys hear me? He was a murderer of Christians. That means us. If you're a Christian, raise your hand boldly. There you go. I'll raise both of them. Can't really do it, but this guy was coming after people like us. He was coming after people who followed Jesus, people who were in love with Jesus, people who called themselves Christians, who followed the word, who feared God. And here this guy was, his name was Saul, and he was a murderer. He loved killing us. He probably did it for fun. That's how he was. That's what he did. But on his way, on a road, he was traveling. And what happened? You guys know the story. He was struck down. He saw Jesus. And Jesus confronted him. And from that point on, right as that happened, he turned blind. God wanted to use Saul. A person that everybody feared. A person, if you saw it coming down the street, you wanted to go the opposite way. You wanted to run. You probably would have packed your bags and just took off, left the city. A person who you did not want to be around if you were in love with Jesus, right? Are you in love with Jesus today? Because I know I am. But if I would have saw him, I probably would have stood up to him. But, hey, he loved killing people for fun. He loved killing Christians for fun. But yet, on this road, he was struck down. And it says in the Bible that he was blind. He was blind, and Jesus confronted him, saying, "Why are you doing this?" And he was just blind, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't do nothing. His eyes, he couldn't see. It says that he was in the wilderness, that he didn't eat. But then there comes a man named Ananias. So let's go. Acts chapter, there we go. It says, "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias." Can you say Ananias? I can pronounce that one. Named Ananias. "The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias.'" And then he says, "Yes, Lord." Next one. "The Lord said, 'Go over to Straight Street.'" Go to Straight Street. You hear me? Go over there to, where's the messed up place? I don't know. "The Lord said, 'Go over to Straight Street, to the house of who? Judas." Thank you for that. What did you learn today? I learned Spanish. "When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now." How could a man who loves killing Christians, all of a sudden he gets an encounter with God, and then all of a sudden he just starts praying? He is here in this city, and he is praying. It says, "He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." Next one. "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers." See, Ananias knew about him. Ananias knew about this soul. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. Next one. "But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel.'" Next one. This is where it kind of gets crazy, all right? It says, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Saul. I'm sorry. Here's a guy that loved killing Christians. God tells you to go and pray for him and lay hands on him. What do you think was going through his mind? What do you think was going through his heart? What do you think he was feeling, Ananias? He was probably scared, right? Probably was. But yet he obeyed. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Is there another one? Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Crazy. You see, Ananias, I picture him, he was scared. Has God ever told you to go do something and you just start feeling your heart beat real quick? Maybe you haven't felt that. Maybe you have. But maybe some of our leaders have been through that, right? I know I've been through that. God's telling me to go pray for people, and my heart starts beating. Imagine what Ananias thought. Here he was, God tells him, "Go lay hands on him. Go to this murderer, and you're going to pray for him." And what did Ananias do? He went up to him, and he called this guy brother. He said, "Brother Saul." Now that's bold right there. That's real bold. He said, brother Saul. You see, Ananias did this in obedience. Now check this out. Here's where the hero part comes in. Because imagine if Ananias didn't do that. Imagine if he didn't go pray for Saul. Just imagine. Imagine if he didn't go do that, okay? Where would Paul have gone? What would have happened to Paul while Saul? What would have happened? Would the church have kept going? Would the word of God keep going throughout all the cities at that time? Would it? I'm pretty sure it would have, but you got to think, if it wasn't for Ananias, an unrecognizable hero, to go and pray for this guy and call him brother and lay hands on him, just imagine if he wouldn't have did that. But yet he did. And he did it in obedience. He did it in obedience to God. So check this out. Before we go too further on, because I got another one. And this last person is really, really, really important. Because I want you guys to know who this last person is. But before we get into that, we got some questions that we want to ask you guys. So let's get everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up. And get a group, I think probably of seven, eight. Go find a leader. Leaders, grab some people. If you usually go to the same spot, how about you mix it up today? Mix it up. Go to a different spot. Join another group. Let's do that. Get away from your friends. Let's do that. right, y'all. We got a few more minutes left. Just a few more minutes left. We'll give it five. 5 minutes left. All right, yeah, you got two more minutes, and let's start heading back to our seats. All right, we got 1 minute. 1 minute, and then let's close it out, leaders. 1 minute, and let's close it out, leaders. Let's make our way back to the seats. Let's close it up, leaders. All right, so check this out. The first two people that we learned about, they're from the Old Testament. Shiphrah and Puah. Two unrecognizable heroes who had the courage, to stand up to Pharaoh, who went against Pharaoh. These two ladies, knowing that their lives are on the line, knowing that if they did this, if they did not obey Pharaoh, they would lose their life. But yet they had the courage. They had the courage, and they had such a fear of God that they did what they did. And they became heroes. Heroes for fearing God and having that courage, stepping up to Pharaoh. They didn't want to kill the young boys. And out of that, a couple times later, out of that came Moses. What would have happened if they wouldn't have did that? The other person we learned about, Ananias. A guy who went and loved, and I'm talking about loved, a guy who went and loved somebody who was killing his kind, somebody who was killing Christians. And yet, Ananias, in faith, because God asked him, in faith, he went, he laid hands on Saul. Loved on him, even called him brother. Crazy. And now he is a hero. Because what if he didn't do that? Would the church would have gone on? It would have, but imagine if Ananias didn't do that. So for this last one, this last person, the unrecognizable hero. You guys ready for it? It's you. It's you. You're that unrecognizable hero. Some of you are probably like, really, me? How am I a hero? Remember at the beginning I said a hero could do something so small, but yet it's so big. At camp, there were some of you that went to camp. And you guys prayed for leaders. Honestly, that's the best feeling in the world. One of the best feelings. We love that. The encouragement that you give us leaders, maybe it's not only us leaders, but maybe the encouragement that you give to your family members, maybe the encouragement that you give to a friend, maybe just telling somebody just a little bit about Jesus. And yet, just by you doing that, you're that person's hero. Because you're keeping the church going. Up at camp, it was Friday night. And I have a hero. I'm not going to say who it is, because this person's in this room. And this person, because of what this person did, it inspired me to ask a question. And it inspired me on this message. Because up at camp, it was on a Friday, I was hit with the Lord so hard. I fell to my knees and I started crying. They were crying. I was crying. There were tears of joy. And then some stuff that I was dealing with. There's one teen that was next to me. I said, I'm not going to say who it is, but that could have been any one of you. Yet this teen, all they did was just lay a hand on my shoulder, just comforting me. And I started weeping more. And that night, that person was my hero. He encouraged me. Even though he didn't say anything, just by him doing that, or by her doing that, just laying that hand, just giving me that comfort, makes me want to keep going. Makes me want to keep on preaching. Keep on teaching each and every one of you about Jesus. So you are that hero. Maybe you feel like you're not the hero, though. There was a question that I was also asking up at camp, and there was a question that we asked here tonight during the group. That what will you do for the kingdom of God? What will you do for God's kingdom? Are you willing to give it all? Are you willing to tell somebody about Jesus? Are you willing to keep the church going? Are you willing to put your hand on someone's shoulder and comfort them? Because there's a hero in each and every one of you, and it's you. Maybe you're saying, Mark, I don't feel like a hero. Mark, I've never done any of that stuff. Mark, I never felt God. I never gave anybody encouragement. I never laid my hand on somebody's shoulder to comfort them. And Mark, on top of that, I've never given God all my life. Mark, I never surrendered fully to Jesus. If you never did that before, how about we do it tonight? In this safe place. What are you willing to do for God's kingdom? Let's start it tonight.